Yeah, so if you had to compare the Barracuda to a character in The Wire, who would it be?
I don't think he thought through his killing, you know, as much. So who is the guy in like the last season that took over for like the young guy?
Marlo?
Yeah, him.
Marlo Stanfield. Is that his name?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I think he's more like,
you heard it here first, folks.
Who's the guy with the, that does the gif of him like rubbing his chin? What was his name?
Yeah.
I can't remember. Was it?
Yeah, Wee Boy.
Wee Boy. Okay.
Or Wee Bay.
Wee Bay.
Wee Bay.
Wee Bay.
Yeah. I think that's who the Barracuda is.
No, Wee Bay likes fish.
No, yeah, Wee Bay does like fish. That's the clearest connection.
Wee Bay's the dentist. Yeah. Hey, this is Jay
and Aaron
and Richard,
and we're the VCR kids. We watch movies from our childhood and see if they still hold up. And this week we have a returning guest. We're welcoming back the wonderful Calvin from A Podcast About Something. How you doing, Calvin?
I'm doing great. I'm here for Finding Nemo because on your last episode Richard said he hadn't seen it along with Holes, so
I was shocked.
I need to be here to give some pushback when Richard hates it.
Wow. He can't hate it. Okay, Yeah. Richard, why did you not see this movie?
You know, I've been thinking about this all week. Why I haven't seen this movie.
Good, good.
I haven't slept. I haven't eaten.
I mentioned in the last podcast, you know, 2003 was really, you know, like 16 years old for me. Like I was getting into high school and I was trying to watch other movies. I just want, for the record, for people to know, I've seen a tremendous amount of movies in my life. Okay. Like I want to be on record for that.
But you don't want to go down as an Andrew.
No, absolutely not. And I think I'm going to like Finding Nemo. There's no particular reason why I didn't see it. And I'm looking through the Pixar films like chronologically, and I've seen pretty much all of them all the way up to Cars 2, like everything before that, except
no one's
Finding
seen
Nemo.
Cars 2. So
no,
I think
no.
You're okay then.
I've seen Cars 1 and 3 and I've never seen Cars 2.
Same right. Here. Jay and I were having a debate about, the top three Pixar movies from like a film point of view. Like, which are the top three best ones?
I think this definitely falls in both of our top three, didn't it?
Yes.
I would think, so from a critical film standpoint or just from like what you like to watch?
Critical film standpoint.
I think it's got to be Finding Nemo, Toy Story 2, and Coco, maybe?
Wall-E.
Wall-E, okay.
Wall-E all day.
I guess
top three is very Coco difficult. And Finding Nemo. Although Monsters, Inc. makes a tough competition to get in as well.
See, I really love Up. So for me, it's Up, this, Coco, but I also really like Wall-E. So those are like the things.
I just think the logic behind Up really falls apart when you start to think about this old guy stranded on this island with only dogs to talk to for what, like 30 years or whatever.
The timeline. Well, they have.
Hold on, Richard. Have you seen Up? Is it okay if we spoil that? Or?
Oh yeah, I've seen Up.
Okay. The dogs can talk.
They did say the timeline is a bit sketchy for how that guy can be alive, but he built the translator collars for them. So that's how
that's
they.
That's not
tell.
The movie that we're watching.
That's not and based then, on real technology. I have issues with it. I'm just kidding. I have no problems with Up.
it might not surprise you that I've also not seen Finding Dory. So I just throw that out.
Well, why would you see that and not this?
Finding Dory is nowhere near as necessary as Finding Nemo.
Right.
I will say, so Finding Nemo is like really big in, especially in like the Disney parks. Like there's like a Finding Nemo ride and there's like merchandise everywhere for Finding Nemo. and there's like a show for Finding Nemo. But I don't think that I've actually seen this whole movie like beginning to end.
What?
Probably since like, I mean, we had it on when it came out, but I was kind of in the same boat as Richard where like I was in high school. So I wasn't like going back and watching cartoon movies all the time. Like I definitely saw it when it came out.
What year did it come out?
2003.
I think I was in eighth grade and I still saw it.
I was,
yeah, well, that's different than being in like 10th grade and seeing
it. I mean, I was 15 or 16, same as you guys. And I remember I didn't see it in theaters, but I saw it shortly after it came out because one of my friends had seen it. It was like, it's awesome. You got to watch it. So I watched it and I liked it. And then everyone I could introduce it to, I introduced it to. Like I had a girlfriend at the time and I'm like, no, we need to watch Finding Nemo.
I think my teachers showed
and
it a lot.
That's when you didn't have a girlfriend anymore.
No, not quite. She enjoyed it.
Yeah, there were like a few movies that like the cool teachers would show, and I think this was one of them because it was new at the time, you know. We also watched Pirates of the Caribbean.
Those cool teachers living on the edge.
Middle school.
Super, you know, educational Pirates of the Caribbean.
It didn't matter after the EOGs. It really didn't.
We would always watch movies like that in French, but they'd like put them on in French. So we're supposed to kind of get the idea of what they're saying.
Oh, I think I did that and with this movie.
Before the end of the year or the semester or whatever, we had convinced our French teacher to just let us watch the movies in English. So we were watching Trek in... I don't know what other movies, but I remember we specifically watched them in English after we were like, we're not really getting anything from this. Can we just watch the movie?
See,
well, fun tip for learning languages. I actually learned quite a bit of Korean from watching English movies with Korean subtitles because like your brain is automatically interpreting the English if it's your native language. And then you're kind of like putting the work into reading the subtitles and translating them that way. So you might have been onto something there, Calvin.
I would, if it was the French subtitles, I think that would have helped a lot more, but we didn't have any subtitles.
Oh, so you were just watching the movie in English.
Yeah. And they would have the first couple of times we would watch it with the audio in French, and it just, a movie like Shrek, I had seen 100 times at that point, so it didn't translate for me at all. I just knew what they were saying and wasn't even listening to the French bits. So yeah, it didn't help at all.
I think our thing was like getting him to put English subtitles on the French movie. Like they'd be speaking in French and then we'd have the English.
Richard, what did you do in French class?
I never took French. I did very poorly in Spanish for many, many years. So
same thing, same here.
Yeah. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that this movie is about finding Nemo.
Would you like to know the French translation?
What was that?
Trouver Nemo.
Oh.
I don't think I could have done it with that good of an accent.
That's pretty good.
Maybe in like ninth grade I could have, but not anymore.
I try. It's probably wrong.
Yeah, I was trying to pull it back into the movie direction there, Jay. I'm sorry. Yeah. I tried.
Aaron. So something else I learned
never
in French
let
class.
That happen.
And to cap it off.
Yeah. So this movie did super well in the box office and in the theaters. I'm pretty sure it got, I didn't pull up any reviews, but I remember it getting like pretty favorably reviewed. And so I think we're in for a treat. I'm excited because like I said, I've seen so many clips of this and so much like retelling of it and stuff like that, but I haven't actually sat down and watched the whole movie in probably like 10-15 years, so I'm excited to go back and revisit it because I completely forgot that like Willem Dafoe is in this movie and like Jeffrey Rush is in this movie and so many other people, so I'm excited to check it out again. The what?
I said Ellen DeGeneres is in it too.
Yeah, she's sure having a moment, isn't she?
Yeah.
I was going to mention her for fear that Aaron would.
That's kind of why I brought up. I wanted to find her thoughts on it.
I actually don't know much about what's going on with that. I've got a lot coming into my brain right now. And so I've a lot of not pertinent pop culture news is actually getting shut out. So
she's mean, basically.
Oh, I thought everyone knew that. I think there have been rumors of that for a while.
Yeah, everyone did know it, and now we're just treating it like it's new news again. I guess everyone's just bored.
Yeah. I was pretty sure everyone knew that, so I don't understand. Like, come on. If you knew that, then don't be surprised.
The director for this movie, Andrew Stanton, not only did the sequel for this, but he also did Wall-E. He was the director for that movie as well.
Didn't that one get nominated for, like, a Best Picture or something?
I believe so, yeah.
Like, not even, like, Wall-E, Best Wall-E, anime. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finding Nemo, I'm a big guy of trying to complete list, and Time magazine years ago came out with the top 100 movies all time, and Finding Nemo was on that list. It was one of the few that I didn't get around to seeing on that list, but
man, you've just been avoiding it at every possible turn.
I want a complete list. I'm at 99. I just can't do it.
Well, I don't know. Not only have I not seen this movie, but I don't even think I've seen clips of it, which is very strange.
Whoa. It's so famous. So much of it.
I feel like you have seen clips of it. You just might not know the reference. So once you watch it, you'll go, oh, okay.
Yeah, though it would all be underwater. It's one of the only movies like that.
Richard, you just need to go to Disney World more. You would see clips all the time.
Yeah,
you would probably know the whole movie if you just went to Epcot for a couple hours.
Yeah, just walk in a circle around Epcot. You got it.
I think the reason why I didn't see it, if maybe I just don't like movies that are underwater all the time. Because I was thinking about Little Mermaid. I guess what, Aaron? I've seen that one. All right, let's calm down.
Okay, but 50% of that movie or more is not underwater.
That's true. But enough of it was.
I like that Aaron keeps breaking it down into above water and underwater percentages. That's very important.
Yeah, it is. But this movie, they're fish. So
yeah,
it's way more disturbing if they're flopping around on land is what I have to say.
Yeah, that would be a very different movie. Like just dying fish.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go watch it and we'll... talk to y'all in a little bit once we're about halfway through. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello, hello, hello. It is Jay coming at you at the mid-roll of the episode, as I do every week, if you are familiar. Hey, if you like the VCR Kids and you're not subscribed right now, you should hit that subscribe button because it helps us out a lot. And all the subscriber numbers that we get just help other people find the show. So whether you listen to us in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, Overcast, whatever your preferred app of choice is, or if you just listen straight from our website like a crazy person, then you should subscribe to our feed because we drop cool movies every week. We get guests from around the podcast space and comedians and other guests as well. And we're currently getting a lot more regular guests, as you guys have noticed. So check us out, subscribe if you like it, tell your friends. And if you have a guest that you want to link us up with, let me know on Twitter at the VCR Kids. We'd love to hook up and connect with other podcasts and get people to tell us more about their favorite movies from childhood as we revisit them, like Calvin did here from A Podcast About Something. So check us out all over the internet at the VCR Kids. You can also go to our website, thevcrkids.com. There you will find all of our past episodes that we've done, as well as links to episodes of Nier, our sister podcast. And you'll also be able to find some merch. You can actually get VCR Kids masks. You can get VCR Kids t-shirts, coffee mugs, cell phone cases, whatever you're into. You can find all of that at our website, thevcrkids.com. Other than that, Calvin's pretty cool. His podcast is fun. I listen to it all the time. Me and Aaron have both been on it a few times. I keep petitioning for Richard to get on it. I don't know what Calvin's doing. I don't know what Richard's doing. Y'all gotta link up. You gotta get together. You gotta get on each other's podcasts. But check it out. They are at APA something on Twitter, or you can just search for A Podcast About Something and you'll hear a little ad for their show later on when we take our second break in the episode. I'll drop their ad in there. So yeah, link up to with us. We want to hear from you. We want to know what you're into. If you got other podcasts you like to recommend that we should kind of co-host with, let us know. We'd love to hear from them and enjoy the rest of the episode. Bye-bye. All right, we are halfway finished watching Finding Nemo. A lot of things going on here. A lot of thoughts. Richard, as the inaugural viewing, what are you thinking?
Well, I think it's really cute. I really wish I'd have seen this when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Like seeing this in my 30s, I don't know. There's some good parts. There's some good parts. And I mean, it's obviously a great movie, right? Very well made. It's beautiful. The voices are incredible. William Dafoe in particular. I could hear him be a fish all day.
He needs to have more voice acting credits.
Yeah.
Right. He doesn't do enough.
No. But that's kind of where I'm at. I took a few notes, so whenever y'all wanna go through the story of it. But
how did you feel about
it? I like it so far.
How did you feel about the opening?
The opening?
Yeah. The sad part.
Oh, well, it kind of reminded me of Up in a way. Like you come to and you get slapped right in the throat and it's like, oh, ooh.
Yeah.
That's what I had in my notes is we were talking about the top three Pixar movies earlier. Finding Nemo is definitely in the top two most devastating openings of a Pixar movie.
Yes. I mean, it's very upsetting every time. They're very good at putting devastating moments in their movies. And then some of them, like this movie and Up, it just slaps you immediately with the sad. Like Toy Story 2 has the Jessie's song part. That's so sad.
I think kind of to your point, Richard, because I haven't seen this whole movie in so long, I kind of forgot how it is definitely a kid's movie. Like, and I think maybe I'm just kind of like tainted on this a little bit because like some of the later Pixar movies that have come out, like Coco, for example, I don't feel are as child oriented. Like, I feel like it's just a really good movie that's like family friendly, right? Whereas this one, I definitely feel like there are a lot more kind of like jokes oriented at kids or just oriented at kind of like goofiness and silliness than I remember there being. So it's kind of been interesting to go back and visit it in that aspect.
Right.
I'm definitely not laughing as much as I did when I was, you know, 15 and all my friends had seen this movie and like we quoted it back and forth to each other because mm-hmm. like they're these little stupid things that are funny even to 15-year-olds who are like find ways to make fun of each other with them.
Yeah.
But I can still see where the humor is at. And like Richard said, seeing it when you're a kid and you have that around it, I think I told you guys on Twitter was the same thing. I felt I recently watched Monty Python's Holy Grail and like I just didn't have any of that context around it of like quoting it with my friends. And yeah. The same thing when I saw The Goonies, I was 18 or 19 for the first time. And like I didn't have that childlike wonder where I want to go looking for buried treasure, spoilers on Goonies, mm-hmm. I guess. So like it just didn't hit me. And I'm like, okay, The Goonies is fine. I don't know why everybody says it's the greatest kids movie ever.
Yeah.
Shots fired at The Goonies. Sorry.
Both previous VCR kids movies. So I think we're all
yeah. I just love
on the record of feeling kind of similar.
I just love this movie. I will say maybe I don't know if it's because I've seen it too many times, but like I wasn't giggling as much like mm-hmm. as I was when I watched Up. I watched Up for the first time in a long time at the start of the pandemic, because why not? And I was just giggling all the way through that movie at all the little jokes and whatever, because they were just silly. And that was exactly what I needed at the start of the pandemic.
Well, I think like there's a point to kind of what Calvin was saying of I think it's just kind of that times have changed and like senses of humor have changed, you know, because mm-hmm. I definitely remember things like people always quoting the like the Bubbles fish or like people always laughing at about like Dory's dream. And I feel like those jokes at this point are kind of like just not funny anymore or just like overdone.
Yeah, they've been played out in kids movies a little bit.
I still think her dream is funny. Like when she randomly says, "Hey, watch out with that hammer. Sea Monkey has my money."
This was the first time I paid attention to what she was saying. Cause then she ends it with, "Yes, I'm a natural blue." And I was like, whoa. All right.
Yeah. I think like more of her cadence, like against Marlin, like how she says things and how he reacts to it is like the truly funny part.
Her character is legitimately funny in the way the gaps in her memory and how she brings them back up, just like Aaron was saying. And that's something that I would think would be harder to carry on like to this point. And it does work. Like if you watch Finding Dory, it wears very thin in Finding Dory.
Yeah.
But it carries through here. And I still laugh at a lot of the things she's saying here.
Yeah, I think the problem Finding Dory has is they make her the center of it. So then you kind of have to like deal with that the whole time. And then Nemo and Marlin are just like they're in it, but they don't really matter. But I will say that Becky in that movie is like so funny. I can't stand it. It's so funny. But yeah, there's not. Yeah, it's
not this movie,
right? It's no. Less. She's less a focus in this movie. She's very important, but clearly the focus is Marlin and Nemo in this movie.
And there is a lot of.
Go ahead, Richard.
That's Calvin.
Oh,
I wanted to say before we get into the plot, I wanted to mention like Jay and Aaron probably remember this. Richard, I don't know because you probably weren't paying attention to it, but like when the movie came out. There was all this talk about how accurate it was with how they portrayed the different environments and where the fish live. Now, obviously, like Marlin swimming up above the water is not something a real fish would do, but where each fish lived and how the environments were, it was all very, very accurate.
And just what they talked about, too. Like Bruce was like, "I never knew my father."
Right. Yeah. And like the EAC is a real thing that sea turtles use to move around. And I guess we haven't totally gotten to that part. Spoiler, sorry. But yeah, they just put a lot of effort into researching and making sure that their movie was as accurate as possible while still working in the fantastical elements. And then Finding Dory also just threw all that out the window and was like, screw it, we'll just throw a bunch of colorful fish at the screen.
Yeah, they put it in an aquarium. So it's like, well, we can do whatever now we can want because they're in an aquarium.
I did kind of off of that point want to mention just how amazing the art and animation and like light in this is, like just even the light reflecting through the water and off of the coral and off of the scene environments is so cool and so beautiful. And I made a note that like nothing about this animation and this movie looks dated like we've seen in other computer animated movies until they get out of the water. Like everything in the water like looks so good, and then out of the water you can definitely see like, okay, yeah, this was like after the original Toy Story but before these movies.
Yeah. Still haven't quite figured out people.
Yeah,
yeah,
I remember.
And those eyelashes gave me nightmares.
So Disney had to invent a program that really did the hair when they did Rapunzel, when they did Tangled. So that has gotten much better since that movie because they had to invent how to do it for that movie. Like they invented a program just for that. So
it's another great movie.
Yeah. But what was I going to say? I totally forgot. It's fine.
La, 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 la. Oh, the other thing I was going to say, and Richard, you're not going to get this at all, but Calvin and Aaron will definitely get it. I cannot stop singing all the songs from the Animal Kingdom show, like when they're coming to these parts of the movie. Like
I've never seen the Animal Kingdom show.
Oh my god, Calvin.
It's always like
Finding Nemo. You're flipping talking about.
There's like a 2-hour wait anytime we're at Animal Kingdom. We gotta see the Lion King show. Oh. You gotta go on the safari. You gotta go to the dinosaur playground. See, you guys don't have to go to the dinosaur playground because you don't have kids.
Right.
That's why you gotta fast pass the Finding Nemo show.
No, we always fast pass the safari and an Avatar ride. Yeah. And Everest.
I thought you were talking about a TV show I should have been aware of. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. But now I know. You mean the show in the Animal Kingdom theme park in Disney World.
We need to make a spinoff Disney podcast where we just say what the best fast pass strategy is, because I will throw down with you right here.
All right. So before we take
no
our next
need for
trip
an Everest
Disney,
fast pass,
you're going to have to talk to my wife because she does all the fast pass planning. But we also have two small children, so we're probably not going for the same things you guys
are. Yeah, that's vastly different. Vastly. We still haven't got to the plot of this movie.
Yeah, I don't.
Do we need to?
No.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward.
Is that
right?
Important here?
I mean, it does take a lot of twists and turns. Richard, are you surprised at anything? Did anything surprise you?
Well, to start at the very beginning, I thought when you were talking about the opening, it starts with them, like the husband and wife going like, oh, I was like, does this start with like fish sex? How did I miss this movie? But no, they're just talking about how beautiful it is. And of course it gets very sad. And then it's just like helicopter parent, right? Isn't that what this movie is about?
Yeah, he is.
Well, I wrote down that his trepidation over sending Nemo to school is oddly prescient in 2020, because I'm pretty sure my wife and I have had that exact same conversation like 6 times over this summer.
Yeah.
And we could just move on from that if we don't want to get too deep into it. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, we're not going back to school anymore here.
Yeah. So.
You obviously don't live in Florida.
Oh. Yeah. Well, where we live is the epicenter for our state, so it's bad. It's not great.
Congrats, I guess.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not that bad.
Good job.
But you don't have to go back to school, which is nice, and make those decisions.
I will say there were two things that I noticed. I don't write a ton of notes, but there were two things that I noticed enough to write down about this movie so far. One of them is that this is the second Hammerhead we've seen in as many months.
Oh yeah.
What was the first one?
Aaron. Flipper with Elijah Wood.
Oh, okay. All right. I was like, I don't know.
You don't remember that depressing ass Hammerhead?
No. Flipper was just meh.
That like trashed a seagull carcass.
Jesus. I've never seen Flipper either. So
yeah, that was the weirdest part. It was very, it seemed like they were like, we're going to put this artistic moment of a, anyway.
Yeah. And then there's this part where they're planning an escape when Nemo gets into the fish tank. And they're waiting for the dentist to leave so they can like execute their plan. And they're like, oh, it won't be long. He's had 4 cups of coffee already. And so, and then he goes to the bathroom and you hear him flush and he does not wash his hands. And I would not want to go to that dentist and have him stick his hands in my mouth.
I think he's a kind of a funny character. If you like just watch him or pay attention to him. Like when he plops Nemo in the tanker, when Nemo first comes to, he's like talking to his patient. He's like, I saw this little guy struggling for life out on the reef. I saved him. It's like, he feels like clearly so proud. He has no idea what's going on.
I feel like Aaron just wanted to do that accent. It was really good.
No, I'm very bad at Australian accents.
That was good.
Okay.
I think this might be my favorite fart joke in any movie. It was the most subtle fart joke. Like it was
with
quality.
The mine explosion.
Yes. That was really good.
So I'd like to think along that line that Bruce immediately, and Bruce is named after, just for, I don't know, you guys probably understood this, but for listeners who don't, he's named after the robotic shark from Jaws, who was also named Bruce.
Oh. Yeah.
Which Spielberg named after his lawyer, I
believe. Right. So
I'd
like to
named
think that
Spielberg's lawyer.
Richard, did you catch the Shining reference in there?
Wait. Let Calvin.
Yeah,
okay. All right.
Point.
Okay. I'm so sorry.
So I'd like to think that Bruce, after missing out on Dory and Marlin, he just goes on an all out fish bender and ends up at Amity Island and just becomes the Jaws shark. The timeline doesn't necessarily line up, but that's okay.
We don't know when this movie took place.
Yeah, well,
I feel like that camera's made after the 70s. The camera that they take the underwater picture with.
That's true. That's really good.
Jacques Cousteau had some pretty high tech equipment.
Yeah, that's true also. Who can say? I guess
we'll I just made that theory up as I was watching it. So I like to think that now. It's my new theory.
And Richard, did you catch the Shining reference?
Was that, I'm trying to think, I must not have. Was it when the shark was like chasing them?
Yeah, he was like knocking down the door and he was like on the other side and he goes, "Here's Brucey." Like, here's Johnny.
Oh, the most like overplayed Shining reference of all time. Yeah,
it's that one. They do a few. I think they do like a Mission Impossible reference too when Gil is explaining.
See, like the reference that Calvin was talking about was like so subtle and like so. I thought that I missed something. It was like, oh no, this is just the most obvious reference of all time.
No, we're not going for subtlety here.
And I think I've watched a little bit more than y'all did because I've now seen the, I call him Stoner Turtle, but Renee was he's like a surfer dude, whatever.
Yeah.
But
it could be the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But the sea turtle is voiced by the director, Andrew Stanton.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if y'all know that.
I just found that out when I was looking at the credits for this, but yeah. It's a cool thing.
I had a few more.
He's done other voices in other Pixar movies as well, I think. Though
he sounded familiar.
I think my favorite scene so far is like the tribal volcano scene.
Yeah,
that's really good.
A Mount Wanahakalugi.
Hoo-ha.
Yeah.
I didn't. I just realized this time, like, I always thought the person, you know how there's the sound effect of the person going like, woo, woo. I always thought that was Peach, the starfish. But this time I realized it was the shrimp just making that sound. Like, he wasn't really afraid. He was just going like, woo, to be like a freak. I don't know.
Aaron, did you catch the shrimp speaking French?
Oh, yeah. And then I told Jay while we were watching it, I said in the French version, I remember that he was Italian.
Oh, it would have been funny if they made him English or speaking English.
He's Italian because he does like the kiss the lips thing. He goes like, mwah. And so I don't think that. So they just said it would make more sense if he was Italian to a French person. You know?
Guess so.
Have we run into the character Anchor yet? Was that one of the sharks?
He's one of the sharks, yeah.
He's voiced by Eric Bana.
He's the hammerhead shark.
Eric Bana is Australian. So yeah, that might be why, like, he doesn't, you know, he maybe wanted to get involved. They need a lot of Australian voice actors.
So
it's just easier. Doesn't have to put on a.
There's no Hugh Jackman, though.
Yeah, why didn't he do this?
Yeah, he wasn't doing anything better at this point, right?
Where's Mel Gibson either?
I mean, this was the same year as the Hulk movie that Eric Bana was in, so.
Huh. That's weird. Oh, that.
Jackman had a few X-Men movies under his belt already.
Yeah, he didn't need this. I will say that brings me back around to my first thought. That I forgot, which is that Shrek was done 2 years before this, and I remember us commenting that the animation was quite rough.
Yeah, I just watched Shrek with my kids, and I didn't remember it being... I still love the movie, but the animation was a lot rougher than I remember.
Yeah, and then you compare this to it, and it was just 2 years, but, I mean, it's like, you can still watch this without thinking at all about the animation quality.
Yeah, I kind of wish I'd have seen this in a movie theater as well, because I think it would have been really beautiful on the big screen. I'm almost afraid
live show at Disney World. I've heard that.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
I mean, that's real people, though, Richard.
Oh, I'm almost afraid to mention anything about this movie because I did write down the quote, "Sea Monkey has my money." But the thing is, here's the problem. Like, y'all know that people have been saying this for like 17 years now. And I'm like, that's a pretty funny joke. And you're like, yeah, it was like people have said that for over a decade. You know,
I honestly never noticed it until watching it this time.
Say what?
I said, I've never noticed that line until watching it this time.
Oh, okay.
So
there were some funny things. I really liked the whole joke about him being a not funny clownfish. I find that a lot more humorous now that I'm older. I feel like he's trying so hard to be funny and he's just so bad at it.
Well, it's kind of twofold, because it's the whole thing where, like, stand-up comedians, if they tell somebody random that what they do, immediately the question is, well, okay, tell us a joke. And it's like, well, I don't want to do that with my life. And then the second part of it, the second time he tries to tell the joke at the Shark AA meeting, when he gets cut off and he just goes, Nemo, and Chum, the dumb shark, just starts laughing at him. And he goes, I don't get it. That's one of the funniest parts of the movie, I think. It just, like, he just completely missed. He thinks that's the joke. And he's just like, wait, why am I laughing?
Oh, I feel like the shark part is actually my least favorite in the whole movie.
They make some really strong points about dolphins, though.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. I think it's the most, like, one of the most, like, unique parts of the movie was, like, that they're in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting for eating fish. And, like, they can't live without eating fish. Like, how are they going to live? They're
eating people.
Sharks. And what was Bruce's record? He was like, I've been without a fish for 3 days or something.
It was 3 days or 3 weeks. I can't remember.
They're like, so brave.
I always felt like that was my least favorite. It just was.
I don't like that they fake out kill Marlin. I counted at least 4 times in the first half of this movie. It felt like,
oh yeah,
I'm a big Fast and Furious fan. It felt like Furious 7 when Paul Walker had just died and they kept fake out killing him throughout that whole movie. It's like, obviously Marlon's going to find his son in this movie. Why do we have to keep almost killing him?
Yeah, it's like the Odyssey, but fish.
Yeah, when Dory was like, I don't know, what was it, the jellyfish?
Yeah.
I was not concerned because I know that in 2016 or whatever, they come out with Finding Dory.
So yeah, there was the barracuda in the beginning. The sharks almost killed him. The mines almost killed him. And then the jellyfish almost killed him. Every time they flashed to whatever Nemo was doing after those scenes, so you didn't know if they survived or not.
Yeah, I think like the first time you genuinely don't know, or you worry at least, you know, because they start off with the killing of the mom.
Yeah.
So you're like, well, what else could they do?
They could have gotten everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Guess it wouldn't be a very good movie if they just killed all the clownfish.
It would have been a much better movie. It would have been Finding Nemo, and it would have been Marlin as like a Rambo style clownfish hunting this barracuda for the hour and a half.
It would have been like hunting.
It would have been like a revenge flick.
That could have been good. That's what Finding Dory should have been. The barracuda should have come back for Nemo and Marlin, and Dory should have just been on all out rampage.
Or, you know, barracuda 10 rampage. Years later, Nemo's a bit older. His father's on his deathbed. He says, I've got to avenge my mother's death. I've got to avenge the death of all my hundreds of siblings. Got to hunt that barracuda.
Now we're talking.
Let's
call John Lasseter.
No.
yeah. This is Aaron. Yeah. Go ahead, Aaron.
Let's not do that.
I'm trying to look up online on Google what the average bowel movement, like the time, the duration is. Because in the movie, it said 4.2 minutes. I don't know if that's average or not.
I'd say
maybe
so.
He's just really, he's got an efficient system.
Yeah, that's true.
After 4 cups of coffee, it's probably very efficient.
Yeah. After 4 cups. Yeah.
And all he eats is mini wheats all day, every day.
And also, anyway, John Ratzenberger is always funny in Pixar movies.
Yeah.
Who is that? He's the voice? The
Norm.
Not Norm. Cliff from Cheers.
Oh, right.
And he does like Ham in Toy Story, and he's the truck and Cars. He's basically everyone.
Isn't he the School of Fish?
Mm-hmm.
He's the School of Fish.
Yeah, I probably should have just referenced what he is in this movie.
Yeah, I was actually like in the middle, I was like waiting for his voice because it's always like, I think he's in every single Pixar movie almost. I was just like waiting for it and then I wasn't hearing him. So I was trying really hard to remember which one he was. And then I remembered that he was the School of Fish. I don't think he was in Coco.
I don't actually know if Coco's a Pixar movie.
The what?
I said, I don't know that Coco was a Pixar movie.
I think it was, because we had to think about that a little while ago, because I was like, was it not Disney? But I think
it's
it was.
Disney Pixar. It's both the studios.
For the record, he was a voice actor in Coco.
Who is he in Coco?
Juan Ortho. What is that?
Ortodontia.
Thank you. See, obviously, I didn't do well in Spanish, guys.
Now I need to watch Coco again.
Next week on the VCR Kids, Coco.
Yeah. Well, that's way too. That didn't come out on VHS.
The streaming kids, yeah.
Oh, he was like one of the random people that were going through to, you know, they were like checking him through security to go for Dia de los Muertos.
Okay. Let's watch the rest of Finding Nemo. And we'll talk to y'all in a minute. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Why is Jamie Lannister such a compelling character?
What is the best time machine from a movie?
Why did Michael Scott need 3 vasectomies?
To find out the answer to all these questions and so much more, check out A Podcast About Something.
Each week on A Podcast About Something, we dive deep into whatever we find interesting.
From movies and TV to sports and paranormal, we explore it all.
Listen and subscribe to A Podcast About Something on your favorite podcast app.
You can also follow us on Twitter @APASomething or check out our website, apodcastaboutsomething.com. And always, stay classy.
All right, we are completely finished watching Finding Nemo. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like it definitely picked up a lot more in the second half.
Yeah.
Says Erin as she yawns and almost falls asleep.
Sorry, it's late. I had a coffee.
4 coffees?
3rd today.
She's about to hit that bathroom.
4.2 minutes.
I mean, spread out over the whole day.
I felt like I wasn't paying as good of attention in the second half. I was on Twitter a lot, but maybe that's just because I'm used to it. I don't know.
Yeah, I have seen this movie so many times. Jay was getting frustrated because I wasn't paying like rapt attention, but I've seen this movie so many times.
Yeah, you act like you don't do that for every single movie we do for the VCR kids, though.
But particularly for this movie.
This is the only one you have an excuse to not pay full attention to.
Correct.
How about you, Richard? How did it settle for you?
About the same. It got rather biblical there for a minute. Getting into the whale. and then a little bit later on, they're in the the pelican's mouth?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I was like, Jesus, these things out of nowhere getting in animals quite frequently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll say that's not accurate to life, those aspects.
I will say Erin pretty much like lost her mind in the seagull chase scene. Like she was like,
it's just funny,
crying laughing.
Yeah, that's really good.
Starting from when that other pelican tries to eat them and he's like, no. And then the pelican's just like flopping around and they're like, oh, Gerald's had a bit too much to handle. And then,
Aaron, that's not Australian. That's the Beatles.
Yeah, it is. It's fine. I told you I was bad at it. And you guys were like, no, but that's because I heard those words and could just mimic the words that the people said already. But,
we were talking about Disney World, but before we start recording, I'm going to go back to it. Sorry, Jay. Have you guys ever stayed at the Art of Animation Resort? Do you stay at the resorts?
No, I know. We stay at Pop Century a couple times. So it's right
might be the one
door.
That it is. Is that the, we stayed at, I think it's Art of Animation.
Yeah.
It has like the Little Mermaid building, the Finding Nemo building, and the whole pool is Finding Nemo. And they've got the seagulls. Like sitting out there, and if you walk past them, they do that, mine, mine, mine. And it's kind of funny the first time you walk by, but then if you go to the pool every day for 7 days, it's not funny anymore.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. Movie
after that, it's not funny anymore.
They also have that in Epcot, like they have those seagulls, and it's kind of like a photo op place. And so, like sometimes when you're like walking around there, it's funny. But then, like I've been in situations where like wanted to wait and get a photo there, and you have to like wait in a line, and then you just have to hear it nonstop
over and over and over. Yeah,
it's not really funny anymore. Although I will say, those seagulls are exactly like our cat Jim.
Like, yes,
just the whole attitude is just him all the
about
time.
Food. He's very intense about food and grabs it.
Richard, what did you think about Dory talking speaking whale?
So Renee found it very funny. y'all are talking about something that gets very old quickly. That got old for me extremely quickly.
Yeah, same. See,
I like Dory speaking whale. I think it's really funny.
It
catches me by surprise how dumb she is with it, but it's actually working.
I think it was like funny at first, and then it just like very, very quickly got old. But I did think it was really funny that it was actually working. Like the resolve at the end kind of made it come around a little bit, but I definitely don't want to hear it anymore.
It was definitely annoying in 2003 when everybody quoted it and tried to speak whale to each other.
The part Jay laughed at.
Lame friends.
Oh. The part Jay laughed at was when little what's his name? The little crush baby, Squirt. He was trying to give them directions for like how to get off the EAC, and then Marlin just goes, "It's like he's trying to speak to me. I know it," which is like such a quotable line. And Jay just like burst out laughing, and I was surprised that he was laughing, because to me that's one of the most quoted parts of the whole thing. So I was like, "That really caught you." I was surprised.
Crush and Squirt are a lot of fun.
They are. You can go to Turtle Talk and interact with
them. Oh my God, stop talking about Disney World.
Turtle Talk with Crush.
Save it for the Disney World podcast.
I've never been to that, so that's on our plan next time we go.
It's fun.
I really
love... So another thing at Disney World is...
I really loved the sequence where they're spreading the story of the dad looking for Nemo. I thought that was really well edited. I even like the dolphins when they're going like up, you know, and they're kind of partially telling the story. Water. Yeah. That was fantastic.
Especially after so much dolphin hate earlier in the movie.
Right.
See, I do feel like, and forgive me for mentioning Disney World again, but I do feel like what has stuck in my head about this movie has been from that like live show, like the musical that they do there. And I feel like the musical, even though it's a lot shorter, really focuses a lot more on the family aspect of it and makes it a lot more like emotional. And so I was ready to like come into this movie and get like teary eyed and stuff, but it was not, they did not hit those emotional notes nearly as much as I thought they were going to. Father son thing, and they kind of get into it a little bit in the end with the swim down sequence where he's like, "I don't trust you," and he's like, "You have to, I can do this." But they did not play up that whole aspect nearly as much as I remember it.
No,
I thought that was like the point of the whole movie. He like, it's just you gotta let go and you gotta let them be their own person.
I mean, like it was, but it wasn't as blatantly like obvious as it was a lot more of like adventure and like a lot more of like, you guys already mentioned the Odyssey, like that kind of like journey story than it was as heavily morally driven as I expected it to be.
Mm-hmm. Marlin and Dory's portion is more or less a road trip movie where they're just trying to find their way somewhere, and then the Nemo section is a prison movie almost,
yeah,
a prison escape movie, and you know, less, we won't go there,
which again great performance by Willem Dafoe just throughout the entire movie.
Oh yeah,
absolutely. And so that it's all building to something. And then it has that one part where, you know, they're all in the dentist office and you get that father son, you know, that near miss between the two of them. And then they kind of go their separate ways again. And then you get the final culmination of it in the Just Keep Swimming scene. But like you said, it's not full on family ties kind of movie that you think it is going into it.
Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of different ideas and it pulls it all together, like in that last scene. Like, you've got it, like, he did everything possible to find his son, but then in the end, like, the answer was letting him go and do his own thing. And it also showed that he valued Dory enough to, like, risk his son to save her. And then it takes all their experience and everything they learned, they were able to use to get out of that situation. So it, like, takes everything and puts it there.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you guys think? Does it hold up?
Oh, yes.
Not surprised.
I agree. I think a lot of fish also died because all drains lead to the ocean. A lot of pet fish.
I know that there was an issue with people trying to keep clownfish.
Hey, so. Ian has clownfish.
Yeah. Yeah, but he knows how to take care of them.
True.
He probably just wants to hear their great jokes.
True. Which
Marlin's joke is not good. Like, we got the punchline. It's still not good, right?
With friends like these, who needs anemones?
Thank you.
Aaron liked it, clearly.
Yeah, I guess
for me.
What do
you think, Richard?
Yeah, I was about to say, I guess for me, it's like, is it a good movie? Because I don't know if it holds up against, well, maybe like what I thought it would be. I think it's exactly what I did imagine this movie was, you know, what ended up, what I saw tonight. I thought it was delightful. It was cute. Clearly a kid's movie. Mm-hmm. I was trying to think. So, okay, two things. One thing that really bothered me was the dentist didn't know that these fish were sentient. Like, because I don't know if y'all saw that when they're like next to the glass and they're all just looking and moving their mouths. I'm like, how does this dentist not know that they're like pointing, right? Like with their mouths.
He's pretty oblivious. He hands the bag to his niece and she just starts violently shaking it and he doesn't care then. So
again, doesn't wash his hands and then sticks them in people's mouths.
Yeah, I think it also sets up how oblivious he is with his first line in the movie, which is, I saw this little guy struggling for life and I saved him. It's like, well, no, that's
had to try to redeem herself.
She just wanted you guys to compliment her accent again.
No. That's just like the perfect line. And then when he accidentally yanks out that other guy's tooth, like, he's messing up every time.
I
like when Marlin gets there and he's like, what's a dentist? What is that?
I think this might have steered me towards not eating fish. I saw this at an earlier age because I was watching that. And I was like, especially towards the end when he's like telling them to swim the same way, I was really pulling for those ugly fish.
Yeah.
Why don't all fish do that when they're stuck in a net? Can't they just swim down? Seem pretty easy.
That's why we only eat the stupid fish.
Okay.
I remembered another part that Jay laughed a lot at. Which is when we first see Darla come into the office.
Oh, yeah.
You noticed her shirt says rock and roll girl or something like that. And then I laughed.
Or just her entrance when she just like slams the door open. It's just so perfect.
And I laughed. What was the name of the boat? It was like the like something mermaid. It was like
the scummy mermaid or something.
Yeah, it was like the like raunchy mermaid or the scummy mermaid or something like that. The name of one of the boats in the harbor.
I think like I might have to take this out of my top three Pixar movies. I don't know. Like, I really enjoyed it and it was fun, but it was definitely much more of a kids movie than I remember it being. And I feel like there are other Pixar movies that kind of like hit both levels, you know, of like kids being able to enjoy it and adults being able to enjoy it.
And
like it was fun and it was cute, and I really liked the characters, and I like kind of like what it spawned. And I think it was well animated. Yeah. And I think it's well animated, but I don't know if I necessarily would want to like sit down and watch the whole thing again.
That's fair. I'm looking at lists of Pixar movies, and I recently watched Incredibles 2, and that's got to be close to the top two. That was really, really good. And Incredibles 1. The top five, I would say, are very fluid, mm-hmm. and it would be hard to pin any of them down.
Not in there on anyone's list. The Good Dinosaur.
I was about to say, I didn't even know that movie existed. I had no idea.
I saw it on an airplane, and that was the best way to watch it.
I think they really do something good when they're not aiming to make a kids movie. They just are aiming to make a good animated film. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think Jay pointed that out earlier. That's something they've done more recently.
Yes.
So if you Finding Nemo, I think before this you had Toy Story, Toy Story 2, and Monsters, Inc. maybe?
Bugs mm-hmm. Life.
Were the only three? And A Bug's Life. I forget about that one too. And those were all pretty squarely geared towards kids with a few grown-up jokes thrown in there. But I think, I don't know, post 2010 maybe, they've started trying to just make good movies that are animated rather than kids movies that adults can enjoy,
except for the sequels like A Cars 2, for example.
Yeah.
I don't know, now I'm afraid to watch Monsters, Inc. because I thought that I would feel
Monsters, Inc. holds up
okay, because I'm worried if it was before this one and they were focusing more on kids movies, like I remember that being really funny.
I think Billy Crystal and John Goodman have a lot to do with that.
Fair.
All but right, sometimes well, they do a miss, like Inside Out. I don't know.
Oh, no. That movie's fantastic.
Inside Out was very good.
Yeah.
It's not funny.
What are you talking about, Aaron?
I just didn't like it that much. I don't know. Like, I liked it, obviously, more than a lot of other things.
Haven't you ever been a 13-year-old girl going through these things and these emotions?
All right, go laugh at the dogs that up some more. And we'll,
if anyone should have connected with it, it should have been me, because I moved like four times. But
did you have to have broccoli on your pizza, though?
No, that's right true. No. But I did not understand Bojangles the first time I had it, and I cried. So,
well, that's just because Bojangles, you were wrong.
The chicken?
Yeah.
So good.
Like, wasn't a thing at all where I came from.
These. Aaron tried to tell me that KFC is better than Bojangles. This is another podcast. False.
Oh, no, I did not say absolutely it was better. False. I just said it was decently good.
It is not, is what I've learned.
You should be ashamed of yourself, Aaron.
I just said it was decently good.
If you have thoughts about fast food chicken and you want to let us know about them, you can hit us up at the VCR Kids on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all social media. Calvin, where can people find out more about you if they want to hear more from you?
Well, before I get to that, did we ever let Richard actually answer whether it held up or not?
Yes. Yeah. I think overall, I mean, it's clearly, I always draw this comparison about like the Beatles. I'm like, even if you don't like the Beatles, you can really appreciate it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could recognize it as amazing music. We don't have to go down that rabbit hole, but anyways, I agree that
because I don't like the Beatles, but I appreciate their music and
right
what they did for music.
Yeah, I clearly see I saw this movie at the wrong time in my life, and I admit that I should have seen it sooner, but I can appreciate it. It's beautiful to look at.
It's a great anyway. Kids movie.
Yeah. If I had it children is. When I have children, they should see this movie before their 30s.
Be careful because they're going to want to watch Finding Dory a lot more than they want to watch Finding
Just don't
Nemo
tell them that
Finding
it
Dory
exists.
Starts off a lot quicker.
I don't have to tell them that it exists.
I do like Becky. I enjoy everything Becky and Gerald.
Who's Becky? What is
it's Finding Dory?
She's in Finding Dory. She's a loon. So literally
lunatic,
so.
Lunatic, more like.
Yeah. And by the way, clownfish can live up to 20 years. That's
whoa. That
up. Because when yeah. he said
turtles can live to be 150.
Oh yeah, for sure. So sorry about that. Thanks for yeah. So where can people find you, Calvin?
Oh yeah, I am at APA something on Twitter. You can search A Podcast About Something in whatever pod chaser, pod catcher you listen to your podcasts in. We have had Jay and Aaron on a couple of Harry Potter episodes, and Jay was on an Arrested Development episode at one point. And we just talk about whatever it is we find interesting. New topic every week. We do lots and lots of stuff.
And Richard's going to be on the Disney World episode. So
that's right. Yes. I have a lot to contribute to that topic.
I actually did a Disney World episode like 2 years ago. So it's out there.
Well, if you ever are going to do a Lord of the Rings episode, then call Richard.
Yeah, no. Call me.
I know a lot about Lord of the Rings.
I've discussed this before, probably not here, but I don't. I've only seen the Lord of the Rings movies once. I've never read the books, so I don't feel like I could do that topic justice.
Oh.
Sounds like you got some summer reading to finish off the August.
I listened to them all on tape recently. It went pretty swiftly.
On actual tape?
On audible.com. You can try audibletrial.com/thevcrkids or whatever that website address is.
And just try it with us.
Yeah. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Shoulder.
Cats.
Radio.
Dot com.